It's time for the Sports Spotlight with Jackson, Kevin, and Christian, and it starts now.
Good afternoon here. It's time for the Sports Spotlight. I'm your host, Jackson White, joined alongside Kevin Gleva and Owen Pulley for this first segment. We have a good show coming your way. And this is going to be the December 14th edition of the Sports Spotlight. And then we have a good one. The Colts did not play last week in the NFL Week 14, but they won. They're now in the playoffs for the first time this season. And the Colts, like I said, sixth seed in the AFC, currently a wild card spot, would play the Chiefs if the season ended today, but there's still games to talk about and more. The Colts take on the Patriots this Saturday. We'll touch on that today, but Thursday will be really the show you want to pay attention to as we talk Colts-Patriots. The Indiana Pacers lose to the Golden State Warriors last night, but have won four out of their last five. So you tell the players you're going to get traded, and then they decide to play good. A little bit confusing. Stephen Curry did not break the record last night versus the Pacers. He will most likely do it tonight versus the Knickerbockers over there in New York. And Purdue, not number one ever. Not ever. No, Purdue is not number one in the national rankings right now, as they did lose. And they've almost lost two. So Purdue's falling. They're still ranked top five. But Purdue, not number one ranked anymore. I believe it is Baylor and IU looking to be ranked very soon. And the corner flag to wrap up the show with Christian Hernandez. That will be after the main portion of the show. But we're going to get right into it and talk NFL Week 14, because there was lots of good games. Like I've said, I'm your host, Jackson White, here with Kevin Gleva and Owen Pulley. And Owen, this is his last week here on the Sports Spotlight, as he's going to do better things somewhere else.
I don't know, 100%.
In his algebra class.
I'll have to check.
You never know. He might be here, but he's not smart enough to check. So I told him, all you got to do is look at your school schedule, but it's Owen. So he's
but they don't show my study hall, so I don't know.
They do.
I'll look at it again.
Okay. But this might be his farewell tour. We do not know. But he'll be on in the morning. So if you like Owen, listen early in the mornings, Monday through Friday, here on Giant 90.9. But getting into the show, Week 14 happened last week. And the games we had to pay attention to was the Cleveland Browns taking on the Baltimore Ravens, the Bengals taking on the 49ers, the Chargers versus the Giants, and the Buccaneers versus the Bills, if you're a Colts fan. And the Colts got two out of the four that they needed. They only needed really one to go the opposite way of a team winning. And they got two, so the Colts now the 60. The games that the Colts wanted to happen but did not happen was the Browns beating the Ravens. If you're a Colts fan, you wanted the Ravens to win that one. The Browns got a big win, though, and now they're 7-6 and now possibly back in the playoff chase. The Ravens fall to 8-5. They lose this one. Lamar Jackson's now injured. And, I mean, not looking good, but Kevin Gleva, the Browns expert here on Indy's Giant 90.9. And, Kevin, your team is now 7-6. What did you see from them in this game? And do you think they have a realistic chance to make the playoffs?
Well, you know, the bye week was just the week before this one for them. They actually played the Ravens, went to the bye week, and then played them once again. But the big part for the Browns was the first half of football. They came out and they looked like they did in the beginning of the year when they were kind of winning majority of the games and just kind of rolling. And, like, they got up big. I mean, they were up multiple possessions at one point. And then the second half kind of started to look kind of like the same old Browns. They just let the Ravens kind of creep in. The offense kind of started to stall. But end of the day, I mean, big win for the Browns, kind of putting them back into the division. They went from fourth place in their division to now second place. And then another big thing about that Browns win is, once again, we have not seen Nick Chubb have a very good day. So, I mean, the last two games they've played, both against the Ravens, I mean, he's been under 100 yards combined between the two games. And when you don't get the run game going for the Browns, I mean, that's kind of when they start to struggle on offense, I think. But a win's a win at this point in the season when they're fighting for a playoff spot.
Yeah, and I mean, you look at it, Like you said, Nick Chubb, 17 carries, 59 yards, no touchdowns, 3.5 average. And Nick Chubb's a guy who was getting 100 almost every game he played earlier in the season, but now he's not getting over that at all, and he really hurt me in fantasy. I had him. He only had like 8 points, so that was great. But the Brownies got the win, but the crazy thing was they did not score in the second half. They had 24 points at halftime. It was 24-6, and they won 24-22, so a little bit of a scare. And Tyler Huntley almost came back and won the game with a Lamar Jackson injury, but they lost it. They even won an onside kick at the end of the game. The Ravens couldn't punch it. Denzel Ward making a big defensive stop. Brownies win. Now back in the playoff chase. Another one we watched out for as a Colts fan was the Chargers taking on the Giants. We wanted the Giants to win this one, and that just was not the case. I'll just fly past it real quick. Justin Herbert, you are that fella. 275, 3 touchdowns. Austin Eckler had a touchdown on the ground and through the air. Just an impressive game for the Chargers. But two games we paid attention to. If you're Colts fans, going into this one, because we did not have a game to watch, was the 49ers versus the Bengals. And this game was wild. The 49ers had the lead most of the game. Cincinnati puts 14 points in the fourth quarter and takes it to overtime. And the Bengals even strike first, hitting a field goal. San Fran gets a chance. Jimmy Garoppolo throws a dime to Brandon Ayuk. Yeah,
Ayuk.
And Ayuk, he's a guy who has not really played as well as people thought he would, but he made a big play here. The Bengals lose, now fall to 7-6 out of the playoffs. 49ers, 7-6 in the playoffs, a team that was dead in the water just a couple weeks ago, back in it. And Deebo Samuel, 8 carries, 37 yards, and a touchdown. And the crazy thing is Deebo Samuel is a guy who has 1,000 receiving yards dominating through the air in the first 8 weeks, 10 weeks. Why? He's a running back now. Like, he only caught one pass out of the backfield. I'm just so confused why Deebo Samuel. What is Deebo Samuel's position?
I think they want to use him as like a can do a little bit of everything like sort of
Cordell
guy.
Cordell Patterson.
Yes, exactly. Someone like that.
Cordell Patterson.
But he's had so much of his success at the wideout position.
A really good receiver, and they're just, It's like the Colts taking Michael Pittman Jr. and just tossing him at running back. Obviously, Deebo Samuel's more of an elite threat from running back than Pittman would be. But it's just, when a guy has 1,000 out through the air, you kind of want to leave him at a position.
Also, with George Kittle coming back, though, I guess that kind of affects how they want to run things. But,
Kittle,
he's a tight end, and Samuel's a receiver. So I don't think just bringing back your tight end should make you just kind of use him as the running back. But, yeah. Kittle the last couple weeks.
George Kittle the last 2 weeks has 300 yards receiving. Just in 2 weeks, he has 3 touchdowns. Kittle has been the guy. And George Kittle looking to reclaim his number one tight end spot in the NFL. And the Colts back in the playoffs now. And then the game that was closer than it should have been. This game also went to overtime. Buccaneers taking on the Buffalo Bills. The 10-3 Buccaneers now. Bills fall to 7-6. And the crazy thing was, the Buccaneers really had handle on this game the whole time. The Bills go in the fourth quarter and score 17-3, force overtime. Tom Brady throws a touchdown pass to Perryman. His only catch, Denzel Perryman on the game. Former Raven, 58 yards to the house. Touchdown, Buccaneers. You win. You're 10-3. Bills fall to 7-6, I should say. Now let's go look at the NFL playoff bracket. As of right now, the number one seed is still held to the New England Patriots, a team the Indianapolis Colts host this Saturday starting at 8:15. Number two, Tennessee Titans, kind of on a losing skid of late. They look rough, but they're still the number two seed at 9-4. The Chiefs. They are now 9-4 as well, and that team is hot, hot, hot. They look good. And the Chiefs now rising up to be the 3 seed. 4 seed now, the Baltimore Ravens. They could literally fall out of the playoffs with a loss. But they lead the division, and that's really a 3-way tie for that division as the Browns, Bengals and the Ravens all fighting for that one. The Steelers, I don't know.
Chances are low for them.
And then you have the wild card. And, I mean, these teams are good here. You have the Chargers, a team that started out really hot. Number one in their division. They've kind of fell off of late. Got a big win over the Giants. I don't think they're that good, though. Indianapolis Colts, 7-6. I mean, one of the best teams in football, I'd have to say. I'll be honest. In the AFC, at least. I think they're a top four team in the AFC. I mean, do you think the Colts are better than the Titans right now?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, they just started off the year so rough, kind of dug a hole.
Oh, I mean, they're 1-4.
Yeah.
Do you think the Colts are better than the Ravens right now?
Yeah, in terms of playing wise, the Ravens are just going down. And, you know, watching the Ravens, they just seem like, I don't know, it's like a slugfest playing them. I don't feel like
their offense is just iffy.
I feel like they just don't make huge plays. They just kind of, it's just a slow tempo game for them. I think the Colts just more explosive, have, you know, just more of a threat to make plays. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, I mean, the Ravens have had so many injuries. Well, let's go back to it. Do you think the Colts are better than the Chargers?
I mean, Chargers have been playing
bad. I mean, only win they've had of late is against the Giants, and that team's terrible.
Yeah. And that's a team they should beat.
Yeah. So, I mean, the Colts beat the Bills.
I mean, looking at it recently, the Colts have been playing better than a lot of teams in the AFC.
But, yeah, let's just go to it real quick. The Colts beat the Bills. Do I think the Bills are better? Maybe. But they beat them, so we're not even going to talk about it. Are the Colts better right now than the Browns?
Yeah. It's just Browns' offense too stagnant, and their defense can just be iffy.
Their defense is a little banged up.
Yeah, and they, they were up 24 in the first half just this last weekend against the Ravens, but then let up 22 in the second half. Just,
their offense is too inconsistent to be a good team.
And it just puts more pressure on the defense, and there's just some problems.
Are the Colts better than the Bengals?
Yeah.
So now, I mean, obviously the Colts are better than the Broncos. Probably the worst 7-6 team I've ever seen.
That I mean, the rest of the AFC, Colts are better.
The Steelers? That's funny.
Maybe not.
Yeah. Okay. The Raiders? Yeah.
Yeah, the Colts are better. Yeah. Definitely.
The Dolphins?
Most definitely. 100 games, you give the Colts 100 wins against the Dolphins.
No, the Dolphins pulling that once.
And
that's 100 games of football. You think they'd win 100 straight versus the Dolphins?
Yes.
No.
They'd win at least like, they'd win about
70% of the time. 99.
Yeah.
Okay. But so I just listed off all those teams. So I think the Colts can slide into the number three spot in the AFC. In all reality, I think the Chiefs are better than the Colts. And I think the Patriots right now are better than the Colts when it comes to a hot streak. I think the Colts, talent-wise, are better than the Patriots. I mean, the Colts, in all reality, can win the AFC. Will it happen? Probably not. But it can. And, I mean, the Colts could easily go on a run. They can beat anyone in the NFL. I'll be honest. They can beat anyone in the NFL, but they can also lose to anyone in the NFL. So, this team, they have a good chance with Jonathan Taylor running the ball. But we're going to have to see. And they play a tough team in the New England Patriots, and we'll talk about that more Thursday. But going to games in Week 14 to wrap this one up, Vikings-Steelers Thursday Night Football. This game was way interesting than I thought it would be, but this really just put the Steelers in the dirt.
Yeah, I mean, the Steelers now in dead last of their division. I mean, they're not even, people aren't even putting them in the playoff race for the AFC. They probably have to win out the rest of the season to make the playoffs. I mean, they're done for.
Go ahead.
And that's a game that, like, the Vikings almost threw away because they were up, like probably 4 or 5 possessions worth of scores. And then just kind of late in the third quarter and all through the fourth quarter, the Steelers just started fighting back and almost came back to win the game.
Just remember, those two teams are the only two teams in the NFL that have not beat the Lions, or that have played the Lions and not beat them this year. So that's kind of a matchup of two teams that are streaky because we saw the Vikings beat the Packers earlier.
But they lost to the Lions.
And then lose the Lions. And then the Steelers, I don't even know what to say about the Steelers anymore. I feel bad for Ben Roethlisberger.
No, he should retire.
Old and senile and not senile, but he's old and immobile. He's just an old quarterback.
Yes.
Yeah. You make a point. Yeah. We're going to miss you on the show if you don't come back, Owen.
I do have a second semester study hall.
So you're going to be here?
I should be.
Oh, baby.
Well, you get more Owen here on the Sports Spotlight. But, I mean, the Vikings, they show life. They still have a chance to make the NFC playoffs. We'll get into that just in a second after we wrap these games up. The Saints get a big win over the Jets, 32-9. Falcons beat the Panthers 29-21. Cam Newton is not back at all. Again, I mean, I said that last week. He played terrible again this week. He had a rushing touchdown. Congrats. He got benched in the second quarter, and then P.J. Walker got benched. Then Cam Newton came back. Now they're saying Sam Darnold's coming back. So that QB room, I mean, I am just excited to see what happens there. That is going to be funny. But Seahawks got a big win over the Houston Texans, 33-13. Chiefs over the Raiders in blowout fashion. Hello, Kansas City. Welcome back to you're the AFC favorite. 48-9, Kansas City says, hello, I am here. Browns, like we said, over the Ravens, 24-22. Cowboys beat the football team 27-20. Football team had late attempts to have a comeback, but end up losing. Titans over the Jaguars, 20-0. And Jaguars, oh my, that is a lot of stuff going on with that team. And I'm just not even going to get into it. Broncos over Lions. And we're sad to hear the loss of Demaryius Thomas, former Bronco and Patriots and Texans and Jets wide out. Mostly known for being the number one receiver for those Peyton Manning teams of the early 2010s. It is terrible to hear his loss. And they honored him in the first play of the game when they had 10 players on the field. And they took a penalty. And it was denied, of course, by the Lions. But the Broncos get a big win in respects to the number 88 of Demaryius Thomas. The Chargers get a big win over the Giants, 37-21. And then Sunday Night Football, the Packers blow out the Bears 45-30. I thought this game was going to be good. I really did because, I mean, the Bears really put the points on the board early, but Aaron Rodgers says, I still own you.
Facts.
And the Packers improve and do that one. And then Monday Night Football, really the game of the week, Rams versus the Cardinals. And the Rams actually got the win. No one really saw that one coming. 30-23, so good job there from the Rams. Stafford had himself a good game. 3 touchdowns, 287. Cooper Kupp really just keep on pushing. 123 yards, 1 touchdown. Good game there. But now let's take a look at the NFC playoff picture. With the Cardinals losing, they fall 2 spots. The Green Bay Packers, number 1 in the NFC. They're back, number 1. How about them Packers? Number 2 is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 10-3 on the year. And they're the 2 seed, so they would play the 7th seed. And the 3 seed, Arizona, falls 2 spots. They're still ahead of their division. And the Rams now are 9-4, Cardinals 10-3. And then the 4th seed is the Dallas Cowboys. So that's your division winners. And the wild card is where things kind of get crazy in the NFC. Obviously, your 5th seed is either going to be the Rams or the Cardinals. I think that is a given. Both those teams already have 9 wins. Cardinals have 10. And I think that's going to be your 5th seed. And then once you get down to the 6th seed is where things get wild in the NFC. You have the 49ers currently, the 6th seed, at 7-6. And no one thought the 49ers would be in the playoffs 5 weeks ago.
No, their record did not reflect any outlook on that. I mean, I would have never guessed, but they just turned it on.
But they're hot. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo is playing good football. They finally went away from playing Trey Lance. That's kind of their problem early in the season. They wanted to play Trey Lance over Jimmy Garoppolo. And that wasn't resulting into wins. And if you want wins this season, you got to play Jimmy G.
And he's been playing well.
He has. I don't know if he's going to be the guy for the future, but he's going to be on a different team next year. If he is, he will start. He's going to play good football. Jimmy G's a good quarterback. He's not a guy who can take you to the Super Bowl like he did in the past. He's not a superstar. He's not a Pro Bowl player. But he's a good quarterback. I mean, he's a top 20 quarterback, I'd say. I mean, he's on the ropes of 20, but he's up there. And then the seventh seed is a team with a losing record. The Washington football team is currently in the playoffs, 6-7. And then you look on the bubble, and this is where things can get wild, to say the least. You have the eighth seed as the Minnesota Vikings at 6-7. They very much could make the playoffs. The Philadelphia Eagles, without Carson Wentz, with Jalen Hurts and Minshew Mania, Gardner Minshew, the ninth seed, 6-7. And, I mean, a flip of a quarter could put any of these teams in the playoffs. The Atlanta Falcons, 6-7. That team has had some blowout losses, but they're somehow having six wins. They could make the playoffs somehow. The New Orleans Saints started the season 5-2, now 6-7 after losing really every game of late. They did get a big win over the Jets, but it was the Jets. They have a chance in the playoffs. And, I mean, if you look at it, the Carolina Panthers still have a chance. They're 5-8 now. And then a team that no one wants to see in the playoffs if they get hot, they're the 13th seed. Okay, I mean, they probably won't make the playoffs, but the Seattle Seahawks have a chance. They're 5-8. They've won two straight. They have the tiebreaker over Washington, so it is possible they could make the playoffs if they get hot. And that's a team you do not want to see, even though they looked banged up. I don't think they're that good this year. Russell Wilson's still a scary good quarterback. I don't think he's 100%, but he's a guy you do not want to see in the playoffs. So, I mean, that's a good thing there. And the teams that have officially been eliminated last week, the Houston Texans have been eliminated. And now three teams joined: Houston, the New York Jets, the Jacksonville Jaguars, and sadly, we have to sadly announce that the Detroit Lions
have been eliminated.
It's tough to hear, but, I mean, yeah.
It was coming eventually.
I mean, they just...
Maybe next year, Lions.
I don't know what's going on with that, because with Detroit, because we saw, like, Matt Stafford leave, and obviously, like, he's doing pretty well in L.A.
He was always a good quarterback. And Jared Goff
did decent in L.A. I mean, obviously did pretty well in L.A., and then goes to Detroit, and now they're terrible. So I think it's just Detroit. Like, the Pistons had a number one pick. The Tigers, like, it's just Detroit.
I mean, it's not Detroit's fault that their teams suck. I mean, just no one wants to go play in Detroit.
Yeah.
And they're not good at drafting. So maybe get good at drafting and, I don't know. I mean, the Lions were decent with Jim Harbaugh as their coach. I mean, they're a team that went 8-8, 9-7 every year. So we'll see, I guess. But maybe next year, Lions. I like Dan Campbell as a guy, but I don't know if he's that coach that can lead you to the playoffs or lead you to a 5-1 season. So I don't know, but we will have to see. But before we wrap up this NFL segment, I do have a quick one. It was crazy. Start of the year, the Colts were 0-3, 1-4 in their draft pick. Just looking back at the trade that was made this offseason to bring Carson Wentz in for that first-round pick, it is now official that the first, I mean, if Carson Wentz plays this Sunday, it will happen. The first-round pick will go to Philly. And now that pick currently sits at 21. If the Colts continue to win, that pick's just going to go higher. Kevin, do you think the Colts won that trade, or do you think it was even, or do you think they lost it?
I think in terms of the output Carson Wentz has been doing and the fact that he's come to the Colts and been able to, I mean, right now they're in the playoffs, so he's been able to lead the offense to a playoff spot, potentially making the playoffs in the end of the season. And, I mean, looking at the Colts' schedule, you'd think they're picking up at least a couple more wins. And so, I mean, that pick will just be getting higher. I think it's a win for the Colts. I mean, a first-round pick, that's always important for a team. But I think overall, in terms of just value...
You got your franchise quarterback. I mean,
exactly. The value of Carson Wentz and how he's been playing. I think the Colts won
that trade. I mean, if you look at Matthew Stafford to Carson Wentz, I mean, most people would say Stafford's better. But Wentz is younger, and, I mean, the Rams gave up a house for a Stafford, and the Colts gave up a car. I mean, that's just the examples. But that's going to wrap up this NFL segment. After this quick break, we're going to come back talking about the Indiana Pacers. They've won four of their last five. They lost last night. But things are looking up for a team that I thought they were going to trade their whole team. I don't know. We'll talk about it and more. Indiana and Purdue basketball. Purdue falls from the number one ranking in college basketball, but they're still ranked top five. Baylor, now the number one NIU, looking to get in the top 25 very soon, and more. And we'll be right back on the Sports Spotlight.
Hi, I'm Arielle Winter. If you're anything like me, your pets are not only your best friends, they're part of your family. American Humane, which has been rescuing animals like Cleo here for more than 100 years, has life-saving tips that can make a big difference in a disaster. When disaster strikes, you want to protect your whole family, including your pets. To help keep your family safe and help our best friends in their worst times, find tips at AmericanHumane.org.
Pass it on. Imagine a lady who wouldn't give up her seat on the bus, a TV host who wanted to be your neighbor, or an inventor whose 10,000 failures didn't stop him. These vivid images all share the same caption: inspiration. These people just did their best, and they inspire us. Now, what will you do to inspire others? Inspiration is in you. From PassItOn.com.
And now back to the Sports Spotlight with your hosts, Jackson White and Kevin Gleva. And welcome back here to the Sports Spotlight for this section two of the show. And like the intro said, we've never used that intro before, so it's kind of cool. But like the intro said, I'm your host, Jackson White. Alongside me now is Kevin Gleva. Good job. And thanks for Owen Bully for joining us in this first segment. We're now in our second segment of the show. And the Indiana Pacers have won four out of their last five. Purdue and Indiana basketball, and stated for later in the show as the corner flag with Christian Hernandez, talking everything you need to know about soccer. But now going and flipping sides to the Indiana Pacers, who got a tough loss last night, had a chance to win it off a buzzer beater, did not. They lost, and yeah. the Pacers, though, did go on a four-game winning streak prior to that one. So they looked good for a short span. Actually, three-game winning streak, excuse me. Should have been four. But, I mean, they looked good against the Wizards and the Knicks and the Mavericks, but they have a tough task again tomorrow versus the Bucks. But they lose to the Warriors. I mean, Domantas Sabonis had himself a good game. Again, 30 points, 11 rebounds. Did not have an assist for the first time in his Indiana Pacers career as a starter. So that's a stat to look at. Chris Duarte, only 3 points. He shot the ball like he had 20, though. He shot it a lot. Miles Turner, probably his worst game of the season. 6 points, 10 rebounds, one block. Caris LeVert, 19 points. And Malcolm Brogdon, 23 for the Pacers. And off the Pacers bench, O'Shea Brissett, 8 points. Jeremy Lamb, 5. Brad Wanamaker, 2 points. I don't know why he plays. I question that every day. But Pacers lose. Stephen Curry only had 26 and really struggled from three. But Warriors win. The Pacers fall to 12-17, and the Warriors now 22-5. And I mean, you look at it, Indiana's still 12-17. They got a couple wins in a row. They look like they could maybe do it. Now they're back where they originally were. And I mean, the trade rumors have kind of slowed down. And I mean, Kevin, I mean, looking at this Pacers team now, they're 12-17. Even though they did announce their fielding options, do you see them making a trade mid-season, or do you see them waiting till the offseason?
I mean, to make a trade mid-season, someone would have to be offering them great value for something, which I just don't see that really happening. So I don't think we're going to see anything major soon. I mean, if we trade some into the bench player, I don't know why we'd focus on that anyway. But if we traded something like that, that's no big deal. But I don't think any big-time trades will occur. I just think they're going to see how it goes. Of course, TJ Warren coming back this month. And, I mean, they showed they can compete with some Eastern Conference team. I mean, the Wizards and the Knicks are both quality wins for the Eastern Conference. And then the Mavericks, who aren't – I mean, they're okay. They're in the West. They're kind of bottom playoff team of the West. And then just losing by two to the Warriors. So they're competing with these teams. So I don't think any big-time trades are coming – soon.
So yeah, here's your stat of the day. The Indiana Pacers have 9 losses and between 4 points. 9. That's like a flip of a quarter. The Pacers could be looking at a good record. So yeah, that just tells you anything.
It may be they're just terrible at closing games.
Oh yeah, they suck.
I mean, they're always They're always in these close games, and they always are losing the close ones.
Like I've been saying all year, the Pacers do not have a closer. They do not have a guy who can step up and hit a shot. They have talent and could do that, but no one on a consistent basis. The Pacers had Paul George. He's a guy who you're going to give the ball the last shot, even though he's not that good at him. You're going to give it to Paul George. Victor Oladipo, ice in his veins, man of the city. He could hit a shot in the fourth quarter. I don't know if the Pacers have anyone on this roster that can do that consistently. Chris Duarte's the only guy who gives me hope. TJ Warren's a guy who could, but he's not active. Malcolm Brogdon's not really a guy who's a good shot creator.
They went to him last night against the
Warriors,
yeah, and he got it. He really got a pretty good shot off. He drove into the lane and kind of got a little fader, just wasn't able to finish it, which, I mean, it's a shot. I feel like you see him make most of the time. But.
Yeah, I mean, but he's just not a guy who would consistently hit that. Caris LeVert, his shot rating this year has been, he's been playing better lately. Probably his last five, he's averaged about 21. But there was a minute there, he was shooting 12% from three, excuse me. But 12%, I mean, I could probably go out there and shoot a little bit better than 12. But, yeah, I mean, the Pacers now currently sit. Now let's look at the table in the Eastern Conference, they're still 13th. I mean, if they win three games in a row, they could be in the playoffs. There's that much. But now let's break down Eastern and Western Conference in the National NBA Association. And the Brooklyn Nets lead the pack 7-19-8, followed by the Chicago Bulls in the 2 seed in the Eastern Conference, and their whole team has COVID, so hopefully they get better and heal up as their next two games have been canceled. The 3 seed Milwaukee Bucks, they have won 7 out of their last 10. They're 18-11. The 4 seed, the Cleveland Cavaliers, a team I did not think I'd see. The Cavs look good. Mobley is a guy who is just an athletic center who can block shots, run the court. He's fast. And, I mean, this Cavaliers team is a team that starts 3 centers, and they're somehow winning. I don't know how. But the Cavaliers, 17-12, 8-2 in their last 10. Kevin Love looking like he is at least a decent basketball player. He had 26 last night in their victory. Their starting lineup consists of Larry Markkanen, Jared Allen, and Mobley the rookie. I mean, just what? I mean, the Pacers, they're complaining about how they can't win with 2 centers. The Cavs, 3 of them. So, I don't know. That's just something. But, I mean, the Cleveland team, that's if you put money on the Cavs to be 17-12 right now, you'd be rich. Just to say the least. But Miami followed Cleveland in the 5th seed, 16-12. They've been straight shaky though in their last 10, going 4-6. The 76ers, 15-13. The Washington Wizards, at one point, were the number 1 seed in the East. They've fallen back to where they belong. The 7th seed, 15-13. And the Charlotte Hornets, 15-14. And the 8th seed, and on the bubble, trying to fight in for that playoff top 8. Remember, the top 10 teams do make the playoffs theoretically. There's a play-in game, so top 10 do. In the playoff play-in game currently right now, the Boston Celtics, who are 14-14, and the Raptors, 13-14. I mean, the Pacers could win 5 games in a row and be right there. So, I mean, I'm not really scared. I think the Pacers can still make the playoffs. I don't want them to, though, but I have a feeling they're going to find a way. Just to sneak in is like the 8th seed and get swept. I mean, that's just the Pacer way.
And that'll do a whole lot of good stuff for the organization, just going to the playoffs and then not getting a lottery pick and then just picking some
white athletic unathletic center.
Yeah.
That's fun as a Pacer fan.
That's
it's a constant
that's
cycle.
That's the story.
It's a constant cycle. I mean, you go 2017, there's guys like John Collins on the board. Let's get TJ Leaf.
Yes, sir.
He can shoot it. Mr. Leaf, I mean, he's an Indiana legend. But, no. And then 2018, you don't have a first rounder, I don't think. 2019, we have 2 centers. Miles Turner and Domantas Sabonis, both good players. Let's go draft another one. Goga Batadze, first round. And breaking news now, Goga Batadze has been assigned permanently to the Mad Ants, so he moves up in the world. And theoretically, that meaning he's moving up to Fort Wayne, and he can stay there. Goga Batadze, have fun up there. I am not a fan of his, to say the least. I mean,
sometimes I'll be watching a Pacers game or whatever, and I see him just walk to the scores table, and I just think, what is going on right now? Why is he checking in?
And the really crazy thing is Isaiah Jackson has really just upheld him in the rotation already as a 19-year-old rookie. And Goga, you've got a cool name. There's a cool picture of you looking at Zion whenever he got all the reporters. You didn't get any. And I guess those reporters are right.
Well, Zion just needs to get healthy, but
yeah, I don't know.
He'll be fine, but he just needs to get healthy.
But the Pelicans now 8-21. Maybe the reporter should have just been somewhere else. Not Zion Brown. Hey, he's coming on the show this Thursday, so pay attention to that one. I'll try to sneak that one in there. But Zion Williamson, he's just been too banged up. He really has. He's played the same amount of games in his first three seasons as Greg Oden did. And now Greg Oden is a, I don't know what he's doing. He's not in the
not
NBA,
in the
so. Yeah, but Pacers now, 13 in the East. Will a trade happen? I don't know. But going to college basketball, Indiana Hoosiers basketball, and on this Thursday at 1:40, make sure to stay tuned. As I mentioned his name just a couple minutes ago, Zion Brown will be joining the show, talking everything you need to know about Indiana Hoosiers basketball, as he is a current student at Indiana University, former WBDG program director, former voice of the Ben Davis Giants, Zion Brown, one of the best to ever do it here at WBDG, will be joining the show and talking IU basketball and more. So make sure to stay tuned to that. He'll be joining us at 1:40 this Thursday, the final sports spotlight, the final one until Christmas break. But Indiana basketball. They got a big win over just a really good team. I'm joking. It was Minrick. I think that's how you say it.
Merrimack?
Merrimack. Yeah, yes. Merrimack. Shout out Merrimack. You got to play Indiana. But Indiana, big win, 81-49. They're now 8-2 on the season, and they're not ranked yet, but I think coming soon they will be. I think they're a top 25 team in the country. I mean, Kevin, do you feel that way against this Indiana team?
Yeah, I mean, they have a record to show it, and of course, a couple losses, but I mean, I think there's going to be multiple teams in there eventually with two losses. So, I mean, I think as soon as the next week or a couple weeks, we could see IU get a spot in the top 25 as long as they keep winning. But I mean, their schedule isn't anything too intense.
Notre Dame, Northern Kentucky. I don't even know how to say that one. UNC Asheville. That's a name. Penn State. And then you got Ohio State on January 6th, which is a top 15 team.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you have some gimmies. I mean, Notre Dame, it's an Indiana matchup, but they're not really down for basketball, so I do expect IU to win. And in all reality, IU should be 9-1. They had a terrible, terrible loss to Wisconsin on the 8th of December on that Wednesday as they blew a 22-point lead. And in all reality, they should have beat Syracuse as well. I mean, that game went back and forth. And, I mean, if Syracuse misses a three, because that Syracuse team could shoot the lights out, by the way. So, watch out. In the tourney time, a team that can shoot threes, that's a good team. But that Syracuse team can shoot threes, but they lost. You could be looking at a 10-0 IU team on a flip of a quarter. But they're 8-2, and they have some gimme games coming up. So, I do believe they are going to be ranked very soon. They've had some good wins as well. We'll see. They have their tougher. Their schedule gets tougher as the season prolongs.
Yeah, I mean they'll get into Big Ten play and stuff, but like you said, like they're going to be playing Penn State soon, Big Ten team. But they're just 5-5 on the year and 0-2 in the conference. So I mean that could be a good one to start out conference play with, just because like Penn State not the greatest team, so it could get them on a roll for a win heading into conference play.
Yeah, so we'll see. But IU now 8-2. I do believe they're ranked 29. So, moving up, but we'll see. And now going to a team that was ranked number one in the previous days, but they took a loss. They're now 9-1 on the season. They're now ranked number three in the country. Not number one, number three. Number three is still pretty good. I mean, I'll take a number three any day of the week. Purdue now is 9-1 on the season. And their last game, they have a big win over NC State, 82-72. And that game was closer than what I expected, but Purdue still got a big win, but they did lose to Rutgers, and that was something crazy, because that was wild, to say the least. I mean, take us through that Rutgers game.
Yeah, I mean, I watched all of it. And really, it's just props to Rutgers because, I mean, all game, they were hitting shots. They were making plays. They were playing really hard. I mean, it was at their place, too, so their crowd was really into it for them, which, in college basketball, crowds can impact a game. And then I think Purdue, I mean, I don't think they should ever let that team hang around. And if you let a team like that hang around, I mean, bad things can end up happening. And who doesn't want to take down the number one seed in the – or number one team in the nation, of course. So it just kind of gives a little bit of extra motivation for Rutgers. And then coming down in just the final few seconds of the game, I thought Purdue had pulled it out by one as their one of their big men, Travion Williams, hits this kind of spin move layup to put the ball in the hoop. And then I think it was Ron Harper Jr. takes the ball about just past the half court line, heaves up a shot and just drains it. And that was game. Goes in at the buzzer and they win on a miracle shot.
I mean, yeah, that was just a crazy game to say the least. But hey, you win. And there you go. So Purdue now sits at a 9-1 clip, third in the country. And they now play their next game on the 18th. They play Butler, an Indiana school, a team that has been good, hasn't been the best in recent memory. So they have a tough game there, and then they play a little bit easy.
Yeah, and I don't think, like, looking at a schedule with Butler, I don't think they're a big threat to Purdue this year. I don't think Butler's going to be an incredible team this year. And then they play, like, Incarnate Word. I've never heard of that school before. But, I mean, right after that Rutgers game, they played NC State, who they beat by 10 in overtime. And that's just kind of another one of those examples of you let a team hang around, especially someone who's unranked like that, someone you should beat. I mean, bad things ended up happening, and Purdue ended up taking care of business in overtime, winning by 10. But I think a team like that who's third in the nation shouldn't be in that position with those lower-ranked teams.
I mean, that's a game. You got to win that one. NC State, I mean, that's a gimmick game, and you almost blew it. But now going up against Butler. Butler's not ranked, but they're 7-3, number one ranked team in the Big East. Obviously, they haven't played the big dogs in that conference, but Butler's a good team. They have talent. They brought back their whole team from last year, same as Purdue. They got guys who are freshmen who are contributing. So, I mean, this is going to be a tough task. It's always tough to play an in-state team in college. I mean, I've seen a number one ranked Indiana team lose to an unranked Butler team in the early 2010s. So, I've seen it happen before. So after that, they play Incarnate Word. That's a gimme game. They play Nicholas State. Okay. And then they play Wisconsin, which is a good game. Wisconsin is a decent team. They play Penn State, a Big Ten team. That's a good one. Then they play Michigan, another Big Ten team. I mean, Michigan's a talented team. They play Nebraska. Good. Illinois, Indiana, Northwestern, Iowa. I mean, their schedule after these couple games are going to be rough, to say the least. I mean, they have Nicholas State and Incarnate Word. I mean, those are two gimme games. But, I mean, you got this Butler game coming up, and then you've got to prep for Wisconsin, Penn State, Michigan, Nebraska, Illinois, Indiana, Northwestern, Iowa, Ohio State, Minnesota, Michigan, Illinois. I mean, that's tough. I mean, you got some good teams coming up. So this Purdue team, I think they have talent to stay atop in the top five, but I think we could see some losses. I mean, they've shown weakness at time. So, I mean, what do you expect in this upcoming month and a half here for this Purdue team?
I just think they got to get back into a position where they're just taking care of business against kind of the teams that they should, those lower ranked, I mean, schools that people don't really hear about. But then just getting into the conference play, I mean, that's just going to be important to start rolling, get those conference wins, because that's a big part. Because, I mean, before March Madness, of course, you got to go through your conference tournament. So kind of playing them, getting a feel of the competition you're going with will be big for them. I just think they really just need to kind of get back into the form of we are the number one team in the nation, and we want to play like it. Because, I mean, they just haven't been playing like that recently.
Yeah, I mean, we'll just have to see. But lots of good stuff going on in Indiana basketball. I mean, Butler 7-3, IU 8-2, Purdue 9-1. So three of the best teams in Indiana. So that's going to wrap up this college basketball and NBA basketball segment. We are going to go to a quick break and then come back with the corner flag with our very own Christian Hernandez. We'll be right back.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
And now back to the Sports Spotlight with your hosts, Jackson White and Kevin Gleva. And welcome back to the Sports Spotlight here on Indy's Giant 90.9. I'm your host, Jackson White. And now joining the show, welcome in Christian Hernandez for the corner flag.
Thank you, Jackson. So yesterday, the Champions League draw happened, and well, it was kind of a mess because they had the first draw early in the morning for us, and there were some exciting matchups. We got to see Manchester United versus PSG, so potentially Messi versus Ronaldo again, which definitely would have been quite the match to talk about. But due to some technical issues with the drawing, it was all those matches were declared void, and they restarted the draw. And with that, there was a bunch of new matches. But Chelsea did get the team that they did get in the first time, but I'll talk more about that later. But with that, let's talk about some of the matches and my predictions for them. Now, with the first match, we got to talk about the head honcho of all these, like the biggest match out of the draw. It's easily PSG versus Real Madrid, which is definitely the hardest match to predict between these two sides. They're just stacked with some of the best players in the world. PSG have the likes of Messi, Mbappe, and potentially Neymar if he gets healthy available to them. Even without Neymar, with the squad they have, they should be fine against this Real Madrid side. But looking at Real Madrid, they have become such a force of power under new manager Carlo Ancelotti. I mean, this guy has just completely changed how this Real Madrid team plays as they played beforehand with, you know, Zinedine Zidane. But he wasn't as good as he was in the past when he managed them. But he left Real Madrid, and now Carlos Ancelotti took over. And yeah, he's been a pretty successful manager as he's leading this Real Madrid to probably a promising title race. But with that, we have to look at the Real Madrid players. That include the likes of Karim Benzema, who is just popping off in La Liga, currently the top scorer without even question, along with his partner in crime, Vinicius Jr., who is just going crazy. Carlo Ancelotti has made this man to a monster. He can actually finish now. So, yeah, it's pretty terrifying when you have a player like that. He's giving me a lot of vibes of a younger Neymar. So, that should be exciting to see what he does in that team for years to come. And, of course, Luka Modric, you know, the person who won the Ballon d'Or 2 years ago. He's a very solid player still, and he's late in his 30s, and he's still playing like one of the best midfielders in the world. And he is definitely capable of causing issues to this PSG team if he does get going. But both teams have been popping off in their respective leagues, with PSG being 13 points clear in Ligue 1 and Real Madrid being 8 points clear in La Liga. With that, who wins this matchup over the course of the two legs? I would say, honestly, I'm going to give it to PSG. Because PSG, they've been struggling a lot in the beginning. And some people say they don't look as good as they thought they'd be, you know, having Messi, Neymar, and Mbappe. But this team has definitely been getting better over the course of the season, and they still have a whole month before this match actually happens. So looking into that, I do think PSG will end up winning as they do have more time to gather chemistry with the players. And Messi and Mbappe are already looking like a lethal threat in Europe. They have made so many goals together in the last 5 games. So it's definitely going to be interesting to see that. But yeah, looking into match 2, another match that is relatively hard to decide. We have the likes of Atletico Madrid taking on Manchester United. Looking into this match, I'm sure both teams are much happier with who they're playing against instead of the teams they got in the first draw, with United getting PSG and Atletico getting Bayern Munich in the first draw. With that being said, looking at this matchup on paper, it should look like a very close match. And some people would be leaning towards United winning this due to Ronaldo's record against Atletico. But I'm here to say that Atletico is being this United side, and it shouldn't be close at all. Atletico are not in good form, but they're in a much better position than this Manchester United side. And yeah, over the course of the weekend, I'd actually decide to watch the Manchester United game taking on bottom of the table, Norwich City. And it was kind of horrible for United, I must say. Watching it, they made Norwich look like a prime Barcelona. They were just on them. It was ridiculous. There's no good defending, no good pressing, no good passing. And it took United, the only way United got out of that game by winning was a penalty for Cristiano Ronaldo and a heroic from David De Gea. Now, a good reason why people want United to win and say that they probably will win is because Cristiano Ronaldo and how many times he scored against Atletico. Atletico's like Ronaldo's pet, but yeah, looking into that, I just want to say that. So far, besides the goals for Cristiano Ronaldo, he has been a burn into that United team. I'm going to be honest here. He can't complete a dribble. He loses the ball so much, and he doesn't press, and they need the press with this new system under new manager Ralf Rangnick. So looking at this, I don't know. Ronaldo is a good player, of course, but he's aging, and they need a player to press up there, and I don't think he does it. Outside the ball, he just walks around, you know? And he's supposed to be like this figurehead for all the younger players in Manchester United, and well, looking at that, I don't know if he's a good role model for them if he's just walking around when they don't have the ball, because it leaves an effect on them, you know? Ronaldo doesn't press, then Bruno Fernandes doesn't press, then Mason Greenwood doesn't press, and then Rashford doesn't press, and like, it just causes problems for United. Instead of it being 11v11, it's like a 6v11, which is horrible for them. As you know, Norwich took advantage, and that was pretty obvious. David De Gea had to become like the best goalkeeper in the world for a second to keep them out constantly. And yeah, overall, I don't know. Looking at Atletico and Madrid, though, you know, they got out of the group of death. And yeah, looking at that, I mean, they beat teams like Porto, Milan, and they almost beat Liverpool. But, yeah, looking at that, I do think Atletico should have this fairly easy. Now, those were two of the most biggest matches that came out of this, but I do want to give a quick run on the other ones. Match 3, we have Sporting Lisbon taking on Manchester City. And, yeah, looking at Sporting and Manchester City, Sporting had a really good run, especially with such a bad start, though. They did definitely clutch up. They lost 5-something against Ajax first match day, but they definitely came out of that and are a much better team now. But that being said, I think Sporting are about to go get knocked out by this Manchester City team, because Manchester City is such a stacked team, and Sporting is just, I don't know, they have good players, but not to the level of Manchester City, so I do see that matchup going to City. Next matchup, we got RB Salzburg taking on Bayern Munich, and yeah, I think Bayern's going to win this one quite easily, I'm not going to lie to you. Salzburg did a good job for being the first Austrian team to make it to the knockout stage of the Champions League, but they're about to be the first Austrian team to get knocked out of the Champions League, in my opinion, because this Bayern Munich team is about to just batter them, in my opinion. They're just too stacked. Next matchup, we got Inter versus Liverpool. Inter have a very stacked team in defense, and they have a good striker in Lautaro Martinez, the Argentinian international, who's been popping goals in and out for them with his partner in crime, Joaquin Correa. But this Liverpool team is just ridiculous. Mohamed Salah is looking like the best player in the world at the moment. Has 30 goals and assists in 20 matches, which is just a ridiculous stat. So, I mean, yeah. I do see this Liverpool team running circles over that Inter Milan defense, especially with Inter not playing too well in their last Champions League matchup against Real Madrid. And, yeah, they got wiped up by them, I'm not going to lie. Now, Chelsea must have had the Guardians looking down on them or something, as they did get Lille not once but twice in the drawing, which is quite interesting. This is a team everyone probably wanted to get Lille, as they're not looking nearly as good as they did last season when they won that Ligue 1 title, which is understandable. Their manager left them after the end of that season for some reason. I have no clue why, but he left an incredible team that was able to challenge PSG and actually win the Ligue 1 title, but he left. So, yeah, this team has just been, you know, struggling a little bit. They gained that same form that they had last season, but they did make it out of the group stage in the Champions League, which is mad props to them. But I don't see them beating the current Champions League champion holders, you know? Chelsea are probably just going to win this one fairly comfortable. And yeah, with that, looking at match 7, this one's a pretty hard match to decide between Villarreal and Juventus. Former Italian Giants at this point, as they're horrible this season, I must say. But they did get out of the Champions League, which is mad props to them. But Villarreal is a good team, and I do see them probably pulling the upset in Juventus, as Villarreal have a nice squad of Danny Pereiro and other players. Their midfield is stacked. It's just ridiculous, so I do see them being the struggling Juventus side. And with that, the last match we have is Benfica versus Ajax. Now, these two teams, Benfica and Ajax, they're completely different from each other. Benfica does make a statement making out of that Champions League table with the likes of Barcelona and FC Bayern Munich. But, yeah, this Ajax team went undefeated in their table. And I do see them, quite frankly, easily beating this Benfica side. Benfica's good, but they're not beating this Ajax team. Now, looking at that, with all that being said, Those are my predictions for the Champions League matchups. I have PSG winning theirs, Atletico winning theirs, Manchester City winning their game, Bayern Munich winning their game, and Liverpool, Chelsea, Villarreal, and Ajax as well winning their game. So, yeah, with that being said, that's all I have to say about the Champions League draw. But before I do end this off, I want to talk about Aguero. Now, a few months back, Aguero was taken off of FC Barcelona game because he was having heart problems during a match, and he has not played since then. There's been speculation that he will retire due to the health issues, which is very unfortunate because he is one of the best players of our generation. But yeah, there's been rumors going around that he's going to retire, but it has been announced that he's doing a press conference to determine his future and talk about it and see if he will retire or not, you know. But this is very upsetting whenever a player has health issues during a match, as it is a pretty scary situation that we have seen with high profile players recently. For example, Christian Eriksen during Euro 2021 or Euro 2020, as they called it still. But yeah, I hope Aguero plays it safe and retires, because I don't think he needs to risk it all to keep on playing with the legacy he already has being the Premier League top scorer and all that all the time. So yeah, but with that being said, that will conclude the corner flag, and back to you, Kevin.
Thank you to Christian for that corner flag segment. He wraps up all of the shows every Tuesday and Thursday at 1:15 on the Sports Spotlight. And hey, we have a Twitter. You can give us a follow at @S_Spotlight. That's @S_Spotlight. We give sports updates and just kind of opinions and keeping up with the news on there. But for now, for Jackson White and Christian Hernandez, I'm Kevin Gleva. Thank you for tuning in today, and stay tuned to WBDG for some good music.